This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
it was an issue because I couldn't control myself. I was so angry, and he couldn't control himself either. He was in the wrong. But I was so angry that I was making things worse.
Yeah, and you two, this is the irony of these kind of things. You two are so close in your temperament, and normally your communication is so much in tune with each other that you play off one another. You know, if one is out of sorts, the other will pick it up and reflect it.
Well, see, I think that's so typical that the parent who is most like that child has the least patience with them and struggles the most with them.
I know that's true for me. I know it is. I know that that's, I can think of that certain incidents with different ones of my kids when they were most like me at that point in time. And that was precisely why we were not communicating, I think, because we were both out of joint.
Well, there's nothing that annoys us like our sins and other people.
Right.
I mean, those clearly annoy us to death. And I see that even in our adult children in their interactions with their younger siblings. They've got no patience when they see their younger siblings doing the same things they did.
Yeah. Well, probably for the same reason, because we think, oh, no, I know exactly where he's going, and it's bad, and I don't want him to go that way because I love him. And then we get curt, we lose our temper, we speak sharply or disrespectfully or something, initially from a motivation of love. But, you know, because it's not received well, then the situation metastasizes like a cancer, you know, and it becomes something different than it started out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've used a word a couple of times in this, which I think is really important. You said the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I have seen in our own family. It is so much easier to deal with interpersonal issues when they're fresh, when they're small, before they sprout horns and wings and fangs and such. But, you know, to say it, you know, not to allow, the scripture talks about a bone of contention to exist between people, you know, but to say, hey, you said something that offended me. Can we talk this out? Or when I say, you know what, I think that what I just said wasn't received the way I intended it, and I want to apologize, and let's make things right between us.
Well, I've had to do that. I've been talking, and I could see that hurt look in our children's eyes, one of our children, and I'd have to say, hang on, something's not right here. I'm not communicating well with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And work it out. And that takes, you got to swallow your pride to do that. And sometimes it's hard in the moment. Sometimes you just want, I'm right. I was clearly right the other day. He was totally out of line.
But
he was not hearing me. Mm-hmm. And my increasing righteous anger was not helping the situation at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a tough situation because he needed to shut up and do what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he wanted to talk about it, and I didn't want to talk about it at that point. I wanted him to just do it.
Right.
And so, you know, we get in these situations, and I think we have to stop, first realize that there really is nothing more important than your relationship with your child right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard for me because I just want to get the job done.
Yeah. And, you know, something else, too, that I've found, and this is not just dealing with parents and children, but I know sometimes when you and I have had some intense fellowship, that there have been times when the best thing at that moment is to call a timeout and say, okay, I need to stop here and affirm that I really love you, that I really care about you, and I'm not your enemy. And we're at loggerheads right at the moment, but, you know, ultimately we love one another and we're going to be here for one another. And so we're trying to work this through. We want to make this work. Okay. And, you know, I remember I took some classes in counseling a while back in graduate school. And one of the things they talked about counseling tools was putting a couple together, sitting in chairs facing each other, knee to knee, maybe sometimes even in contact with each other, where you couldn't storm around and, you know, stare at the ceiling and make big hand gestures, but you really had to interact with one another. And so those are things that, you know, those are kind of tools which I think it's necessary and useful and helpful, you know, to come back and say, hey, okay, can we stop? And can we just, you know, right here say, we're not going to let this blow us up. You know, that we're here for each other and we're okay and we love one another. And we just have a point of friction here.
Right.
You know, and that's something like a lot of times we talk with our children. Our children come in so frustrated with each other, just absolutely blown up. And to say, hey, you know, kids, the problem is not your brother. Your brother is not, I can't fix your brother. Mm-hmm. But the problem is something your brother did or said or should have said and didn't. Or something like that. So, you know, bring it back to saying there is a point of disagreement here on a behavior, but it's not your personhood that's at stake.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, after the break, Hal, I'd like for us to talk about what do you do if you feel like your relationship is already in big trouble?
Is it really?
I mean, what do we do if you feel like I'm losing this child?
We are
constantly at loggerheads.
Uh-huh.
Because we talk about what do you do when at the beginning. At the beginning, you stop and you deal with it. Mm-hmm. And you talk to them and you make clear to them that the relationship is important.
Yeah.
And it's more important even than getting lunch on time or getting where you're going on time. It's more important than getting to church on time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can agree with that. Well, yeah, well, let's come back to that in a minute. You know, I'm looking here at our time. Wow, the time's going a lot faster than expected here.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of events coming up, and I just want to keep reiterating this for folks. If you are in the Midwest, we are going to be there very soon, okay? Starting next, March the 12th. It's going to be Thursday, March 12th. We're going to be in Evansville, Indiana.
Yes.
With the Southwest Indiana Home Educators Convention. We're going to be there that weekend. And then on Sunday, we're going to be speaking at Corydon Baptist Church in Corydon, Indiana, which is over really near Louisville,
Kentucky.
And we're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about marriage, but we're also going to be talking about the results of that Gen 2 conference that we went to. And some of these things dealing with relationships and long-term effects of the decisions that you make in your parenting and how they're playing out with these young people. You know, some of the ones who have already graduated and moved on, you can look ahead and see how's that worked out for those families. Do we need to do a course correction? So we're going to be talking about some of that. Now, after that, after we leave Indiana, we're going to be going all the way to beautiful, fabled Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota.
Famous of song and story. And we're going to be at the North Dakota Homeschool Association's convention there in Fargo.
We're going to be keynoting
at Fargo Assembly of God. We're going to be keynoting that event. And on the way back, we're going to make two stops, not one, but two stops in central Iowa.
Cool.
We're going to be in Newton, Iowa. We're going to be speaking about a couple of sessions. We're still working out the exact titles on those.
Okay.
And then we're going to be in Eldora. We're going to be at
Pine Lake Camp.
And
you're doing marriage workshop there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And so if you're in the Des Moines area, we're going to be just a little ways out in the country both of those nights. That's going to be on the 23rd of March and the 24th of March.
And if you are anywhere between North Carolina and Fargo, North Dakota, there's a lot of the country there, and you would like for us to stop and speak to your church or your homeschool group or your mom's group, we have a few open dates.
If there's still time to get on our schedule.
Contact us at info@raisingrealmen.com.
Yep.
And we'd love to talk to you. Okay, let's get back to this really interesting topic, Hal.
All right, so we are talking about what you do in the sense that your relationship with your child is cooling off. And we're talking a little bit about what do you do when you sense that the temperature's dropped a couple degrees. Well, what do you do when the icicles have already formed? What do you do when you feel like there's a distance that's built up between you?
I think one of the things is you're going to have to recognize that it's up to you to make it right. It's up to you to make the first steps and to rebuild the relationship because your child likely isn't wise enough to do it. It's going to take them a few years out in the real world to realize what they're missing in their family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is, you're going to have to take the steps. And that's tough. It's really tough emotionally. But I think first you're going to have to stop criticizing for a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've got a toxic relationship or a cold relationship with your child, they're tuning you out. All they're hearing is rah, 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 and they're tuning you out.
And you know what? To be honest, by that point, you're probably not giving them any new information.
Yeah.
You know, I know this. We've talked with some families who've had some real serious breakdowns with their adult children. And some of them have told us later on, you know what? I realized that they know how I feel about that relationship. You know, if they're living with somebody out of wedlock or if they've gone off on a lifestyle choice that's going to be ultimately harmful to them, they know how I feel about that. I've told them a thousand times, you know, and those families tell us the important thing to them was building back some sort of relationship to recognize I can't fix my child. You know, that's the job for the Holy Spirit. I pray for my child. I try to make sure that I'm not the obstacle, that I'm not the one that's causing a break in our relationship any longer.
And so for a time, and there's going to be a time when your relationship is restored, you will be able to speak into their lives much more freely.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, your speaking in their life is not being heard. And so you need to stop criticizing, and you need to work on building out that relationship, restoring a relationship of love and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you tell them you love them, you show them that you love them. Is there anything about your child you like? Yeah, sometimes it's a challenge. It's a challenge to find things.
It's hard to remember those things.
But find things and tell them that you like it and why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about a book I read, actually when we were recording, one of Gary Smalley's books for couples. It was called If Only He Knew. And this was a book that was written for the husband or for the man in the relationship. And one of the things that he said there, which was just so powerful, was this concept that you cannot change your family member.
Yeah.
You can't fix them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't correct them or whatever it is. You can't force that to happen. You know, but you do have the control over your own heart. To the extent that any of us do, you have the ability to change your behavior, to control your tone, and to do everything that you can on your side of the relationship and hope that they respond.
Yeah.
And hope that they see that. And that's a really important thing, because I think a lot of relationships go on the rocks for good reasons, but they stay on the rocks because one person thinks, well, if I just hit the right argument, if I just, you know, make them feel sorry enough, or if I just convince them that I'm right and that they need to repent and come back and apologize, then everything will be vindicated and made right. And,
yeah.
And it's not really the way it seems to work.
No, it's not. And, you know, I want to encourage you that they will be much more receptive to your advice
mm-hmm.
when you've got a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing to do is to work on the relationship. That means you're going to need to look for some opportunities to spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to mean you're going to have to do things they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know this feels like you're doing everything, but you know what? You're the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in their lives, they don't have the perspective to understand what they're throwing away. And you do.
Mm-hmm.
Go the extra mile.
Well, you know, I see two things here, and they both end up at the same point. One of them is that you may be the person who has the grace. You may be the person who is right to be offended or be angry. I mean, you may have everything that's righteous and just on your side, but you may be the only one in the relationship that has the grace to come and to build the bridges, which says you need to go to reach out to them. You need to take the step in their direction.
Yeah, I heard about a really tragic situation this week, Hal, where a young man told his Christian parents that he had decided that he was bisexual. And he is like a freshman at college or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, well, then we can't have anything to do with you. And I thought, how foolish. Because what they just did is they said, we're going to remove all love out of your life. So your only chance to find love in your life is to go find these people who are leading you into sin.
Yeah.
You know, the parents threw him into the arms of the people leading him into sin.
And what's the first message he's going to get? We'll take care of you because they're all about rejection.
Yes.
You know, they've turned their backs on you. They've rejected you, but we're here for you. In fact, it's what they just did.
Yeah, and that is wrong. If you see your children going the wrong way, whether it's a little bit of a wrong way mm-hmm. when they're 11 years old and you see that withdrawn look in their eyes.
Yeah.
Or a lot of wrong way, they're 17, they're threatening away from home,
mm-hmm.
or they're 19, and they're
and
heading off the
new
jazz end. First thing to do is to make sure they understand that you love them no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
He loved us before we were lovable and when we were making wrong decisions.
Yeah, God does not love us as a reward for our lovability.
No.
You know,
we're doing right.
No, of course not. I mean, all of our righteousness is just like filthy rags in the sight of a holy and truly righteous God. And so, you know, every bit of love that God shows to us is a matter of his grace,
yeah.
and not because we deserve it. And guess what? That's where we are in our family relationships, too. We show grace to one another, not because, you know, not because your child deserves your love, you know, not because you deserve their respect, but simply because we show grace to one another as fellow fallen sinners.
Now, yeah, let's talk about the way this works when they're teens or twins, preteens or teens. Okay, I've got a child. We're having a conflict, okay? It's getting more and more heated.
Yes.
I have a choice at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They are out of control. They're irrational. Maybe they're completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're being disrespectful. My temptation, I have a hot temper, is to ratchet my temper right up and start yelling back at them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a choice here. Instead, I can speak calmly, and I can say, okay, I see this is not going in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I can be the adult. Tell me what you're feeling. Let's work this out like grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Let them express what they feel, no matter how offensive it is. And then, I'm not saying take it and let them go on acting like maniacs.
No.
But then, after they've cooled down and they've expressed what they think, then take them to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And say, well, let's talk about this. What does the Word of God say about this?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, they're much more rational. They're calm. They're more willing to hear. You're being calm. You're not being the opponent. You're leading them to the Word of God. You're showing them their real problems with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you take them humbly to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then you can address the sin. Then you can say, you know what? You spoke to me very disrespectful.
Yeah.
I've got to correct that.
Yes.
And I've found that lots of times at that point they say, you know, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was wrong. You know, that child the other day, we had a hot argument. You had to intervene. You had to say, honey,
mm-hmm.
go do your thing.
Right.
I'm dealing with it because I was out of control. I was so angry. And I wasn't hitting him or anything like that, but I just,
no,
I was angry.
Bloodshed or,
no,
but
I was angry.
But there was a lot of anger. Yeah.
And when he came back in, he said, Mom, I was so wrong. Please forgive me. Did that happen right away? No, it took about an hour. But he came back and the relationship was restored and he recognized his sin.
Yeah.
But you're going to need to take the first step. You're going to have to work on rebuilding trust because the ability to speak to their sin is based on love and trust. And if you don't have the love and trust, you're not going to be able to speak to their sin.
Yeah, that was one of the things Jeff Myers talked about at that conference, about in their dealings with young adults, several thousand of them that have gone through Summit Ministries. He said, we've got to speak the truth, but we have to speak it in the context of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have, as you say, trust. We have to show, hey, I'm gonna speak to you in love. I'm gonna demonstrate love. And it's not a matter of, and I'm going to win. Booyah. But rather, okay, you know, I want to come together and agree on truth together and build our relationship by drawing us both closer to Christ.
Right.
By drawing us both closer to God's word and his standards of holiness. And that's you know, that's a powerful thing. But again, coming back to it, recognizing that either we have the benefit of more grace, and therefore we need to step out and show grace to the other person, or else, guess what? Sometimes we're wrong,
yeah.
and it's our responsibility
I've been wrong.
To step back and to say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I need to offer an apology here." Because so either way, I think it behooves us as Christians to say, if our relationship's wrong, we need to take the step. You know, we don't have the liberty to sit back and wait. or the other person to.
Because in the meantime, our children can make a shipwreck of their lives out of anger toward us, and I really don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to apologize the other night because I lost my temper. I was wrong. And I had to look at my child and say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And look up at him, he's bigger than I am now.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. Relationships are messy. And the parent-child relationship in the preteen and teen years is messy. But it's absolutely crucial because they need us.
Mm-hmm.
They need our wisdom. They need our advice. They need our love. Yeah. And things are really tough. I'm not sure there's a harder time of life for them than that time when they're first leaving home and they're not married and they it's very lonely.
It's lonely and it's uncertain and they don't know. You know, they can't see the future. And sometimes that's a frightening thing.
And having parents that you can trust, that love you, that you can come to for advice, is a tremendous help during that time. I think our adult children would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to maintain that good relationship through those years or we're not going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's time for us to finish up.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're talking about loving your child like Jesus does.
Excuse me. Yes.
And we're going to be looking at
mm-hmm.
how God loves us and how that should inform how we show love to our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really interesting. We're focusing on relationships this month because we were just really moved by realizing, looking at that Gen 2 survey, how much the parent-child relationship affects our children's spiritual health.
Yeah, it does.
So we're focusing on relationships
mm-hmm.
and helping you to love your children more like the Lord does.
And you know what? One thing, too, I want to say is we're talking about dealing with conflict. You know, we have a workshop that I think would be really helpful. If you're dealing with some conflict or you see a lot of it bubbling along in your family, we have one called How to Fight So You Both Win.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's practical. It's kind of funny because we've had to deal with some of these things and realizing that when a conflict erupts, which it will because we are fallen people, we will have conflict, realizing that we make a choice about whether to fight over it and how we carry on that disagreement.
Yeah.
And realizing the power that that gives us going into a conflict to say, I make a choice whether this is going to blow up and destroy the world, or we can turn it to some sort of constructive conclusion. But I have to know that I have that ability, and I have to have some simple tools to help me make those right choices. If you're interested in that, come to our website, www.raisingrealmen.com, and search on How to Fight So You Both Win.
And if you're struggling with your preteens, it's a challenging age to parent,
mm-hmm.
sign up for Boot Camp 9 to 12, our webinar series
mm-hmm.
for parents of 9 to 12-year-olds. It's everything we wish we'd known when our older children were that age.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to love it. And you can watch the recorded versions anytime. Mm-hmm. Go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
Yeah. Well, look, we do appreciate you joining us here. You know, we are here every Monday night, and you can catch us on iTunes at any time or come to the archive pages here. You just go to www.halandmelanie.com/radio. You can find the whole series. We are up to about number 71 tonight, I believe. Is
wow.
71. So we've been going for more than a year here, about a year and a half of us. So lots of shows back there in the archives, and lots of times you can look up and get some good advice and some interesting guests as well. So until next week, we want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll see us again when we talk about taking biblical principles into the 21st century family.
See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.